5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There's recently been a debate about which dog breeds, which have typically been bred for fighting, such as pit bulls, should be banned in the US. And you may be wondering, why are you talking about this, Josh? It's a bit inconsequential to all of the problems in the world, isn't it? And I would say, no, actually it's not. So I think it epitomizes the current divide within the right that are resisting progressivism in where the trade-off between freedom and security should be, and whether there should be one at all. And I like grounding metaphysical concepts and abstract ideals, such as things like freedom, in practical scenarios, because it allows you to work out what you actually believe. And there's also lots of research out there, including my own research, academic research, that suggests that the way we think about certain things and the decisions we make actually differs between whether we think about it in the abstract in terms of ideals such as freedom and when we actually implement things in practice. And I think that if we are to be effective in our politics, we need to understand exactly what policies we want as well. And I think it's actually better to think about it in terms of policy rather than abstract ideals, because that way we're actually thinking about politics in a way in which is far easier to enact political change. If we're just saying, well, I care about freedom, well, how do you bring that about in the current climate?
Yeah, this is a criticism of many ideologies, which is that you get it on paper and you turn it into almost a closed system on paper where you can have it make all sorts of internal logical sense. There's no cracks in it. But then you actually try and implement it in reality and you're just going to fall flat on your face. So if you try and think about things, like you say, in a more practical, realistic manner, thinking about policy, I think that's a much more effective way of going about it. You'll still probably have to compromise when it actually comes to it if people who agree with you are going to get into any sort of power. But it's still more practical at the end of the day. And if we're going to be going on about the PQ, the pit bull question, so to speak, I think I'm just going to lay it out here. It's something I've never once really thought of that much. I think.
Well, I'm going to present all the arguments. You're going to be the perfect candidate to figure this out, because I'm actually quite undecided on this. Normally, I'm very, very liberty inclined. I'm quite libertarian. So I'll just be like, yeah, the government shouldn't step in and tell people what to do in any case. But then there is quite a compelling case on the other side, which I normally don't say.
I'm sure there is. My question will be, what is the practicality of implementing something like, because I know we're going to be discussing Matt Walsh. He wants all pit bulls banned. What's the practicality of enforcing something like that? Are we going to be breaking down the doors of breeders and checking all of the pups that they've got? You know,
I'm going to be looking at lots of cases and kind of arguing the case
for that dog.
Yeah, I know.
Are we going to get to that? And then there's also just the fact of the matter that for me personally, I am the person you described at the very beginning of the of your little spiel there, which is that on the priority list of things that I care about right now, pit bulls isn't near the top. But then again, I'm planning on having children relatively soon, so I don't want to be one of those people walking around a park with a baby stroller, for instance, and all of a sudden, bam, pit bull.
Yeah. So I think the meta-narrative about the trade-off between freedom and security is part of the important part of me doing this in the first place, but talking about the dogs as well. It's an excuse to talk about dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I love dogs. If I don't even remember. I think I've met some pit bulls before. They've seemed nice enough if the owners have been all right, but
yeah, well,
I've not seen them get freaked out. So,
as you mentioned here, on screen is Matt Walsh saying, I'll stop talking about pit bulls when the rest of you stop being wrong about the subject. So he's had a bit of a tirade saying that, yeah, pit bulls are dangerous. Nobody should have them.
I think he does this on monthly intervals. Every 3 months or so, he goes on the Pitbull rant.
It's like the planetary cycles align and Matt Walsh has a new
Jupiter
crusade.
Jupiter is in retrograde. Matt Walsh is moaning about Pitbulls.
But yes, there was a bit of a debate and I wanted to showcase some of the interesting responses as well. Here's the next one that says... This is Matt Walsh again. Well, the statistics clearly and irrefutably prove that pit bulls account for a vastly disproportionate number of fatal dog attacks. Then again, you own a pit bull and you think he's cute, so that obviously outweighs all of the empirical evidence. Great point. And the person who he was replying to deleted it. But yes, there is data to suggest that pit bulls in particular seem to be the main perpetrator of dog attacks. And someone replied with something that I think is very important to showcase. Here we are. This is also the next tweet as well. It says, no, John, if you just move on to the next one. There we go. Yeah. And this guy says, this is my American Pitbull Terrier, well-trained, well-behaved and social. And he shows his dog being well-behaved and doing tricks and stuff like that. And I think nobody's denying that when someone is a responsible dog owner, the dogs can be pleasant and well-behaved. Although I have seen some cases whereby a well-trained family dog has just had a moment of madness. And we'll get onto that later.
I think that can happen with a number of different breeds.
It can, yeah.
I'd be interested with those statistics that you've cited. I'd be interested to see if, and I don't know how you would really collect this data, mm-hmm. if it would be anything to do with the breed in and of itself or the types of people that go for that breed. Is it just more likely that the pit bulls attract a certain type of owner?
This is a problem with lots of polling and research questions more generally, is that just because there's a disparity in outcome doesn't mean that there's something inherent. It's the same thing as, why are there so many white people in certain industries? Why are there so many male engineers? It's just like, well, it's not necessarily that there's racism or sexism. There might be a multitude of factors that influence that.
Are pit bulls just a breed that attract the type of person who aren't going to train the dog very well and are going
to
use them more as attack dogs?
That might well be the case.
Because, I mean,
right?
Pit bulls are known as attack dogs. So mm-hmm.
That's what they were bred to do, wasn't it? They're fighting dogs.
So I assume that there are a lot of, like, say, tough guys out there who mm-hmm. just want a pit bull because it looks tough and then they don't really know how to control it.
Mm-hmm. So if we move on to this next one... if you could click on that image, John, and this is someone on Matt Walsh's side here showing, I think this must be in the United States, the percentage total of deaths associated with certain breeds of dog, and Pitbull is there at 65.6%. So
that's pretty high.
Despite making up, no, I don't actually know how many dogs as a percentage Pitbulls make up, but 65% is still a majority share, and I'm sure mm-hmm. that they're not a majority of dogs. So it's
vastly higher number than mm-hmm. any of the other ones. It goes from the next one underneath, Rottweiler, at 10%, to suddenly mm-hmm. Pitbull, 65%.
And I know Rottweilers are used by the police and people like that, so they can be well-trained. So
I've met plenty of really lovely Rottweilers.
Mm-hmm. Same with German Shepherds.
Rottweiler, highly underrated for cuteness, if you ask me. They can be very sweet.
I mean, I grew up with King Charles Cavalier Spaniels, so they're tiny little dogs. And and even if they accidentally...
Would you be wandering about with that in like a man purse or something? Because you're quite a tall man. That would be quite funny.
Well, I like to feel... You know how people get a big car to compensate for their lack of masculinity? Having a small dog to compensate for my... excess of masculinity.
Your overwhelming masculinity, yeah.
I need to bring myself down to earth. Obviously joking. but no, they're lovely dogs. I remember playing with one and they accidentally nipped my finger around, ow. And then they tried to shower me with licks for the next 2 minutes because they
felt
bad. Was
this a Rottweiler or your Spaniel?
Spaniel.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so
that's
cute.
So
they've got quite an affectionate and kind demeanor. So I think it does vary by breed. And I'm sure that a pit bull could be like that with the right environment.
Yeah, I grew up around cats, so I'm used to pets being completely antagonistic to you at all times.
My cat was lovely. I had both, but...
Obviously, cats are lovely. They can be very friendly and affectionate, but if you fuss them too much, they will just go for you.
Sometimes a tickle of the tummy, they will go crazy.
That's the no-no area.
But yes, this has gone on to the mainstream media as well. Here's Newsweek saying footage of 10-year-old being attacked by pit bull sparks fierce debate. I've seen the video. I'm not going to play it because it's a child being attacked by a dog. And I don't think that's something people really need to see, funnily enough.
Yeah, we were just talking about cute animals and cats and such. Let's not shift to that.
But yes, she's just playing in what seems to be her front garden, and this dog just comes storming up trying to bite her, and it's pretty horrifying stuff. But on the topic of dangerous bitches, Connor did a video with Carl talking about the evil origins of feminism. So make sure to check this out on the website. It's very thorough, and I believe it's been very well received, and I think it's important to know about. But back to actual dogs. I wanted to... Sorry.
Well done.
I wanted to just go through some of the stories, just the headlines, just to give you an idea. These are just ones that are in the news recently. A lot of them have just come out this week in February, although I do have one that is outside of that. But just to give you an idea of how frequent it is, because I think it's so ordinary and it's nothing new, I think people don't realise that it is a little bit more widespread than you might think. Although, of course, in a large country like America, or was it 350 million people, something in that ballpark, it is still a very, very small occurrence. It's not like you need to be looking at your outside by twitching your curtain to see if there are any pit bulls out there before venturing out. I don't think that's a proportionate response. I think it's still quite rare, but nevertheless.
If you are doing that, let us know in the comments.
And stop doing it as well. But yes, here's an article saying, 5-year-old Florida girl needed 50 stitches and staples in face and neck after dog attack. And it is largely children, it's worth mentioning as well, because of course, pit bulls aren't massive, and if they see someone like our height, over 6 foot, then...
And a pit bull goes, for me, I am liable to just give it a big boot.
It's certainly not going to be able to reach our neck unless we fall over or something.
No.
It's going to be like a felled tree and just slowly topple over. It's going to bite her ankles out. But no, it is largely children as well. And there's another one here. Owner of dog in fatal Tucumcari dog attack speaks out. I always thought that Tucumcari was just a Western, but it is actually a place.
It sounds like an Egyptian pharaoh to me, so it shows all I know.
I think it's in the south somewhere, isn't it? It's got the weather in Albuquerque, so maybe it's New Mexico. I don't know. Some Americans will probably correct me.
It says Tucumcari, NM, so I assume New Mexico.
Yes.
So this is the land of the meth.
Only in Breaking Bad, although I'm sure there probably is a large amount there. And then there's another one here, unfortunately. Grandma dies after dog attack where injured 12-year-old ran for help. So it seems like it attacked an elderly person and a child as well.
Oh, that's awful.
So yes, this is from September of 2022. I got this just to showcase that it attacks old people as well. I'm sure there's a more recent example. It's just the first one I found.
I mean, children, elderly, these are all people who are just more vulnerable, aren't they?
Exactly, yes. And then back to another more recent one. And we have this one, which is titled, Witness says she thought dogs were eating something in Tornillo dog attack. And this is quite horrible. Apparently, as they drove by and there's an old lady on the floor and there's a dog basically biting her and they just thought it was eating something on the floor.
Oh, bloody hell.
So it's pretty brutal stuff. And I wanted to shift to the UK now because we've actually banned certain fighting dog breeds. This is under the UK Dangerous Dogs Act of 1991. So it's been banned for quite some time. It came into effect in August of 1991. And the banned breeds are the Pit Bull Terrier, unsurprisingly, which... for people in the UK is a close relative to the Staffordshire Terrier, which is not banned and actually quite common, isn't it? Even though they share lots of genetic lineage as well as dispositional nature.
Allow me to just remind myself what the Staffordshire Terrier looks like.
It's like a, you don't know what a Staffy is, as
it's
affectionately called.
Yeah, one of those ones. Yeah, they're friendly enough. I've met a few friendly Staffies.
I mean, they do have a bit of an association in Britain. They often come alongside people in tracksuits and gold chains who drink alcohol at midday on park benches.
I don't know, man. This picture I've just found has one holding a little Union flag with a crown on its head. Seems like a pretty patriotic dog to me.
But yeah, it's got an association with ne'er-do-wells, basically, in Britain. Although I'm sure there are plenty of ordinary people that have them as well. I'm not going to tart everyone with the same brush.
But you are making the chav association.
Well, it exists, that's why.
Yeah.
There is that association.
Yeah.
It's quite often you have like a proper chain link style collar as well, maybe some spikes on it.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those.
And then you also have the Japanese tosser, which is a bit of an unfortunate name. Good name to insult someone with.
The Dogo Argentino. I
sounds like a meme dog, doesn't it?
No, I loved his film Suspiria. Do you get that?
Who's that again?
Dario Argentina.
Oh, right.
Argento.
All I know about Suspiria is that Tom York from Radiohead did the soundtrack, so I haven't actually seen
the film.
I'm
talking about the 70s original,
okay.
The classic.
You've out-film-knowledged me.
Yes. Just flexing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also the Fila Brasileiro, which one can presume is a Brazilian dog. And yes, these are all quite big dogs that seemingly have been bred for fighting. But the reason I'm talking about this is that we're still getting quite a few dog attacks. So you could argue that even by banning pit bulls, there are still other dangerous breeds.
Well, judging by what it said in the little list it gave underneath that, mm-hmm. it said, obviously, it's illegal to sell it, abandon it, give away, or breed them, but it's mm-hmm. not illegal to own them. So even if you do have somebody who owns them, that's not mm-hmm. against the law. It's just if you catch them doing any of those other things.
But it's safe to say that this has been in effect since 1991, so you're going to have some weird black market of pit bulls or whatever to have them about. So I think it's safe to assume that there aren't nearly as many in Britain as there are in the States. But nevertheless, we've had quite a series of dog attacks ourselves. So if you look at this one, Milton Keynes, Happy Little Girl, 4, killed in dog attack. This was on the 1st of February, and it's a very tragic thing to hear. I mean, it's always horrible to hear about children being attacked by dogs. I mean, it's pretty grim. So I do apologise about that. But it's important to know about. And then this is actually a fully grown adult. I think this is a lady in her late 20s. This next story from Sky reads, Natasha Johnston, Surrey dog walker, died from multiple penetrating bites to the neck. Inquest here's, and this was end of January. So it seems like the dogs even understand how to kill a human being as well, in that they go straight for the neck. I mean, that is instinctual to lots of animals as well. So even if you're an adult, you're not necessarily safe. I know it seems like I'm really over-egging the danger of them, but it is important to talk about. And then it's also worth talking about this one. This is really, really unfortunate. So a pensioner got into a car accident, and then as she got out to inspect the damage, a dog that had escaped nearby attacked her. So imagine that run of luck. You get into an accident in London in your car, and then when you get out to see the damage, you get attacked by a dog. So
it sounds like a bad comedy sketch.
Hopefully this poor pensioner, I think it was an old lady, is better and her car's not too damaged.
Did a clown car pull up afterwards?
And then
just one after the other, they all come out and just... Pfft.
Yeah, but the unluckiest woman in the world there.
Yeah.
And finally, this is what I was alluding to earlier. This is a story about a dog attack titled Mother's Warning to Parents After All of Toddler's Son's Nose. What? That's a weird title, isn't it?
All of Toddler's Son's Nose Ripped.
Toddler's Sons?
No, Toddler's Sons.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was just reading that weird, wasn't I? How do words work again? All of Toddler's Son's Nose Ripped from Single Bite, which is horrifying. And basically they go on to say that they've owned this Staffordshire Bull Terrier cross. I think it was 8 years old, this dog. So they'd had it in the family for 8 years. It'd been perfect family pet up until that point. Apparently, their toddler and the dog were best friends with one another. They'd play all the time. And then just out of the blue, they turned their back for 1 minute and the dog bites through the toddler's nose and they had to get stitches that are going to permanently scar.
That's awful. The only thing that I could take away from that is that at least it was only the nose.
Yeah.
Because if it had gone for the neck.
Mm-hmm. But I think that this is kind of a bit of a rebuttal to the point that, well, my dog is well-trained, it's loving, and that sort of side of things, because that dog must have been, because it coexisted with this toddler for quite some time, and then just out of the blue, it's probably not even a deliberate thing on behalf of the dog, necessarily.
Doesn't stop them being dangerous, though.
Yes. And Just so you don't feel left out, here's one from Canada. Owner charged dogs to be euthanized after attack on 9-year-old in Manitoba girl, and Australia as well. They have this article titled, "Absolutely Horrifying, Elderly Man Hospitalized After Suspected Dog Attack in Victoria."
That's the next link, John. Thank you.
Yep. So there we go. It's clearly a problem in lots of the developed Western worlds. That's safe to say. Whether we should do anything about it is the debate, I suppose. So if you move on to the final link, that's just the dog deaths again, 65.6%. But actually on to some of the questions in the debate itself to see whether there should be this trade-off between freedom and security. Should people just be able to choose whichever dogs they want? So some of the arguments for banning them is, of course, the public safety debate, that innocent people, especially children, will be targeted by certain breeds of dogs. And there's not really any avoiding it. They're going to come into contact. And also, there's the link between dog fighting as well. There are lots of underground dog fighting rings. I know we get it in Britain, particularly gypsies steal people's dogs and then use them for dog fighting. People's pet dogs and pit them against fighting dogs.
Any dog fighting is just completely reprehensible,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, this might be controversial, but I think death is probably the best penalty that the state should give to these sorts of people.
Interesting take.
No, it's one of the most callous and cruel things you could do, right?
Because especially if you're stealing somebody's dog that's probably been well looked after, used to a particular lifestyle. I say it like it's a well-kept woman.
You're deriving pleasure out of cruelty, and I think that people who are like that don't deserve to be living.
Yeah,
that sounds very sinister.
I think we all have a certain paternal outlook to dogs, where we look at them. Yeah. We don't like to see them.
This is my
in
pet
distress.
Owner.
Yeah, we don't like to see them in distress. We don't like to see them anxious. We don't like to see them upset. And that's just the worst thing you can really do to them outside of just abusing them yourself.
Yeah, but obviously dog fighting is already illegal in most civilized countries, or at least as far as I'm aware. So obviously that's quite a small underground thing, but still it's part of it. And some of the arguments against it is that it's unfairly punishing owners with well-trained dogs who are responsible, as well as the fact that it is kind of discriminating against breed. Sometimes breeds that aren't typically aggressive can be aggressive. The only dog attack I've ever witnessed was a Jack Russell. And
Jack Russells can be very aggressive, to be fair.
I find them quite unsavory. They're kind of horrible little
monsters. I've never had a Jack Russell myself. My grandparents used to have one that went blind and deaf, so only went by sense of smell. So if you didn't smell like my granddad, she would just immediately nip at you. And she was an evil little rotter, she was, if I'm perfectly honest. And then my ex had a Jack Russell. Who...
For a second there, I thought you were going to be like, yeah, my ex was a Jack Russell.
Enough of your fanfic. No, my ex had a Jack Russell that was mostly lovely, but could be a little bastard and was not allowed near the front door whenever anybody knocked or rang the doorbell because he was liable to freak out and try and bite them. So they can be very skittish, very aggressive dogs if you take them by surprise.
Yeah. But I think they're meant to be ratting dogs, aren't they? To catch. What a terrier is. I might be wrong.
They're supposed to go down like rabbit holes and such, so that they can go and get them for you.
Yeah. There are, of course, enforcement issues of this as well, in that enforcing a ban on specific breeds is difficult, and it can be hard to determine whether a dog is a certain breed or another that's allowed or not allowed. And what are you going to do? Get genetic testing of dogs, and by that point, it's going to become a very expensive thing to do. And also, you're going to be taking away people's family pets that might not have done anything wrong.
Yeah, like you said, the Staffordshire Terrier is legal in the UK, but the Pitbull isn't. And when I Googled the Staffordshire Terrier, just on a glance, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference, to be honest.
No, I think you need a bit of a trained eye to tell the difference, really. But in behavioural kind of standards, they're pretty similar, to be honest. And of course, breed is not the only factor that determines a dog's behaviour. So it's largely neglect from the owners that makes dogs aggressive, or encouragement from the owners, that sort of thing. So perhaps greater regulation of how people treat animals rather than banning the breeds altogether might be needed. That could be one concession people make. But I don't really know how to feel about this, because on the one hand, I always want to side on people should make their own decisions and the government shouldn't make it for them. But on the other hand, someone's right to own a fighting dog, should that outweigh a child's right to life? And that, I find that quite compelling as well. So I think that this is quite important, because it's one of those situations where it's very difficult to trade off between freedom and security. And I can kind of see both sides. And although I lean towards the freedom side of things, I can certainly be persuaded either way, I think. And hopefully this has been a good lesson in just how difficult, when we actually talk about these abstract ideals, it is to implement something practically, because there's a lot of nuance when you actually apply something and trying to figure out what is the correct and moral thing to do isn't always easy. And hopefully that's one of your main takeaways from this. And hopefully you can post some compelling arguments in the comments, because I'm very keen to read them as well. So please try and persuade me either way, because I do want to feel like I have a good idea of what policies should be enacted in the world, but it's not always easy. Hopefully you've learned something about dogs as well.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the book club series, this one on George Orwell's Animal Farm Part 2. If you'd like to find out what else the Lotus Eaters are putting out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.